We are here in the depths of Mid-West Wales with adventure queen Elise Downing, who is running 5,000 miles around the coast of Britain, a journey that's going to take her around about a year to complete, 11 months just shy probably.
Something like that.
So, I'm just going to have a little chat today. I've been running with Elise yesterday, and I have to say, she warned me that it was going to rain all day, and that it was going to be miserable, and it's been beautiful. Where did this idea come from?
The story I always tell people, which I think is the truth, is that I was sitting at work one day, and we used to deliver things, so I was looking at a map, and I thought, oh, I wonder if anyone's been around the coast of the UK before. And I started Googling it, which I probably shouldn't have been, because I was at work. But it turns out loads of people have, obviously, walked it and cycled it. But people had, not many people had tried to run it, which wasn't really what I wanted to do it, but I just didn't really like walking. I didn't own a bike at the time.
So did you like running at this
yeah,
point?
Yeah, I did like it, sort of. I wouldn't say I was great at it. I'm more like the idea of being a runner than actually being a runner.
Yeah.
But I kind of just thought it would be doable. Although I don't know what I based that on, because I don't know if it was, but yeah.
Let be honest with me on this one, like, how was your preparation? Because I know you get a lot of questions about, like, how have you prepared for such an epic feat? Like, what was your general approach to preparation?
Well, I think up until reasonably recently, I tried to fluff this up a bit and pretend there was a bit more of it than there was. But actually, no, I really didn't prepare at all. So I decided I was going to do it. And then I sent a few emails, told my boss, told my friends, handed my notice in. And then I just kind of didn't really think about it again for a while. And then it got to the month before, and I was like, oh my God, I haven't been training. I haven't got any kits.
And how are you feeling at this point? So tell me, it's a month before you go, and you've not done any preparation, no training, but you've told a lot of people, right?
Yeah. So I kind of knew what I was doing. But then it was exactly a month before I left. I was actually in Germany cycling with my dad. And a friend texted me and said, oh my gosh, it's a month until you go away. Oh God, it is, isn't it?
That was news to you.
Yeah, oh yeah, massive news. And then I came home and I worked for another week. And then I had 2 weeks until I had to go. And then it suddenly sank in that I actually had to leave. So I cried on 90% of the population. Decided I might not leave. And then eventually took my head out of the sand and did some packing. And that was about it, really.
And even though you did some packing, so you said that actually you ran out of London. How many people ran you out of London?
About 20, I think.
Lovely, that's really nice.
So yeah, it was really lovely. We ran to Dartford, which is not a good place to start an adventure. Rubbish place. And then I woke up on the second morning, my parents are staying in Dartford with me. And I realised I actually didn't have half my kit. So I had to go to Blue Water Shopping Centre on the second morning of the adventure to buy kit. Okay. I'm not exactly advising this as a way to go, but it all worked out okay.
And so now you're like 5 months into the journey.
Yeah.
Has it been like what you thought it was going to be like? Has it been everything you expected?
I think the reason I was so scared before I went is because I couldn't envisage what it would be like. So I didn't know what to expect, so that was really scary. Yeah. But I just kind of thought it might be impossible at this point. So then when the sort of first few weeks went by and I was still running and I hadn't completely fallen apart, I was like, oh, maybe this is okay. And then doing like that, so I'm not sure I really had any expectations.
Okay.
Except I think I thought I might run a bit faster, but...
And you have a really, you have a rule that makes me laugh about giving up. Tell us about your giving up rule, because you think about giving up quite a lot.
Oh, all the time. But my giving up rule is that even if something's really awful, I have to do another 2 weeks. I get to the end of the 2 weeks and I still hate it. Then I'm allowed to quit because I don't want to be miserable for 10 months.
Yeah.
But well, always in that 2 weeks, then something happens to make it kind of make you not want to quit.
And what's going through your mind when you want to quit? Why do you want to quit?
Often it's raining. Like, it's almost always raining. And I think it's just when... It just starts to seem like, why am I doing this? And it is quite miserable, because I think some people... Oh,
Gate problems, man. It's life on the trail. What happens?
Some people quite like the sort of suffering element, I think. Whereas I'm really not like that.
Yeah, so your writing is absolutely hilarious. And anyone who doesn't follow Elise's blog needs to get on it because it's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
But you stop a lot for tea and cake.
All the time.
Is that important to your kind of style of adventure?
It's fundamental, I'd say. I really like it's more of a cake tour of Britain than a run tour. But running means I get to eat more cake.
And where so far, so that people can go and find this place and seek it out? Or have you got like a top three cake?
Yes.
Stops? Okay, hit us with them.
A great cake stop was in Rye, quite near the beginning. And it was a little cafe called Ethel's House.
Ethel's House.
And it was chocolate Guinness cake.
Oh my days.
And that was great.
That sounds incredible.
And then there's a cafe called the Patio Cafe in, I really don't know the name of it, Clangranog.
Okay, and a place with two L's in it in Wales.
Yeah.
This is frightening to me.
Struggling.
Yeah.
And that had a great Victoria sponge. And then
fresh cream in that Victoria sponge.
So oh, much goodness cream. Me.
Fork with that, or was it fingers only?
Yeah, it was fork.
Oh my god, fork over fingers every time.
And then I think all the rest of my favourite cake. Oh, and then in Tenby, I stayed with an actual professional cake maker. So
that
was just great because her house was just cake. She had a whole separate kitchen just to bake cakes in. But my brother keeps laughing that he thinks he's the only person who's actually interested in hearing about the running instead of the cake.
So obviously you're eating well, and you're getting a shed load of human kindness.
Yes.
Did you expect that?
Not at all. People said that. Everybody said I'd be surprised by how nice people were. And I did not believe them. I just thought there wouldn't be quite so much kindness.
Yeah.
But people have just been go out of their way to just be amazingly nice. In one 24-hour period, four different people bought me chocolate brownies.
Oh my god, was that at your request?
No.
They just sensed it.
By the end, I was getting a bit chocolate out, but that was good.
And you'd never refuse a brownie.
Oh, you can't, that's illegal.
And so, other than the weather, what's your biggest challenge so far?
I think when I usually talk about this, people think I'm joking.
Yeah.
But I'm actually terrified of all farm animals. And
which is a bit of a problem when you're on a lot of farm trails, right?
Yeah, and I want to be joking about it. But a cow makes me cry almost every day.
And it's a genuine fear.
Yeah,
actually, to be fair, I've seen you with... I haven't seen any cows yet, but I've seen you with sheep the past few days.
Yeah.
And I can confirm that Elise is petrified of sheep. I think she thinks they're all in some kind of mafia ring.
I do.
And they're out to get us.
And I want to get over this because I know it's kind of pathetic. But it really just ruined the day. So I think that's actually the biggest challenge.
But the thing is, and also I've seen you be the fear you have of sheep, like it is real, and I guess it's one of those things with any fear, it matters to you, and other people might not understand it.
Yeah.
But you are genuinely frightened of farm animals.
And it's more the fear, like thinking about the fear. So I'll be having a great day, and then I remember cows exist in the world. Oh no. And I've taken a lot of horrible detours.
What, you've run around fields?
Around fields on A Road. Is it in my head trucks kill people less than cows do? I know.
What would happen if one day you went onto the road and there was a cow driving a truck?
Oh god, I just don't know. I'd be back, I'd cry.
Are you hoping by the end of the run that you're going to get over your cow fear, or are you just accepting of it?
I'm not sure because I don't think I was scared of cows before I began. It's just mounting up.
Bit of a serious question now. So there are so many things that people don't start in life because they're just full of self-doubt and criticism and fears and all of that. Maybe not fears of cows, but other stuff. And would you say that you are more of a critic or other people are more critical in terms of, obviously people have an opinion on what you're doing and stuff, but how do you strike that balance between making sure you listen to the positive stuff and what are your techniques?
I think because I'm thinking about it, no one's actually ever said anything horrible about going running.
Yeah.
People have a lot of opinions about kind of training and fitness and nutrition and stuff, which you can just sort of ignore, I think. But no one's ever said, no, that's a stupid idea, you shouldn't do it.
That's amazing.
So, and I think that's what I'm scared of, because I remember I first told my friends on a night out, actually, and we were quite drunk, and I was like, I'm going to tell them. And I was terrified that they would, I don't know, just really laugh at me. But why would someone really? I think there are a lot of people who don't understand necessarily why you want to go and run 5,000 miles. But really, no one's been that horrible about it. And the only person who's ever said I should quit is me.
Yeah. So you are basically, you're the biggest critic in all of this.
Yeah, because I think you are... Yeah, and this could sound really depressing, but it's not. But I think you are the only person who actually cares.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone else actually cares. Yeah. Like, people will be really happy to see you succeed. But if you quit, it doesn't really affect anyone else's life, does it?
Yeah.
Except you. So I think it's the end of the world. And I feel like the world is caving in because there's a cow and it's raining. But actually, everyone else is just getting on with things.
So, I know you were sat at your desk one day and you just thought, right, I'm going to go run round the coast of Britain. Yeah. Maybe I could. But where do you think that comes from? What was it about, like, normal life that just wasn't ticking it for you?
I'm not sure, really, because I think when you hear lots of people, they say they went to do something because they were really... They hated their job and stuff.
Yeah.
But I actually quite enjoyed my job. I was quite enjoying living in London. But I think it was more, I just didn't see myself doing that forever. And I'd just gone a bit stir crazy. And I'd always kind of thought, I think I always thought I could do something, I don't know, different. And then I was like, well, I'm not. I'm just sitting at my office. So what, like, there's no excuse really. So that was it. But the idea for the actual trip popped into my head. I wasn't sitting there desperately brainstorming for something to go and do.
And what is it about Britain? What is it about a kind of adventure on home turf that appeals to you?
I think I really liked the idea of doing something big on home turf because there's so many amazing places that I've seen that obviously you can go across the world and there's still amazing places to see, but I felt like I should explore Britain. And also, I guess in some ways it does make it easier because your kind of things are quite familiar. It also means lots of people, like friends and family, have come to join me for bits, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So that's been, I think that's good if I don't know you are a bit nervous. Because going off for 10 months, even to just go anywhere, you get homesick and whatever.
Yeah.
So being in Britain has been really good for that. And there's just so many amazing places. Like Wales is insane.
I can confirm Wales is insane.
It looks like it could be anywhere. It's so beautiful.
So do you think you've changed as a result of this journey yet? Or are you too in the middle of it to think about that?
I'm not sure really. I still feel like the same person.
Yeah.
But I think I've got better at talking to strangers.
Yeah.
Because you have to. Because I've never been someone who would just... Like some people can go up to someone and have a best friend 3 seconds later. Whereas I don't have that. I more need like an intro to talk to someone.
Yeah.
But then I think doing something like this, you kind of have that. So that's been really nice.
And I've noticed being with you as well, what's really fascinating is that you don't actually tell people what you're doing. Is that deliberate or do you go in waves?
I think I sort of tell people if they probe. Because for instance, someone will ask what you're doing. And if you just say, well, I'm running from here, often that's it.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I sound like a bit of an idiot. Like, oh, I'm running 5,000 miles. Like, I don't know. I think... So it's not really deliberate. I'm not telling people.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to tell everyone I meet necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't mind them knowing. I just don't like telling them.
And do you have moments where you just stop and you're really proud of yourself? Because you've run almost 2,000 miles now, have you?
Yeah, I think I had a little moment the other day where I was having an easy day. And this easy day meant slowly jogging 15 miles. Oh, there's a sign up there.
Oh, and I nearly thought, missed it.
What? I feel like I was just like, life's changed. Once upon a time, running 15 miles, I'd be like, oh my God. So,
and so have you been amazed at the fact, because I know you've had a couple of injuries, but how's your body? Gait problems. Hang on. Gait problems. Oh, how has your body held up through so far?
I think surprisingly well, but I have been like, I'm really not a massively like competitive or sort of performance driven person. So if I'm a bit tired, I just have a day off or walk or go a bit slower.
Yeah.
Which I think probably been, usually that makes me quite lazy. I think in this it's made it quite good because if something hurts, I just don't care, I'm running.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a difference between being a bit tired, but I don't think it's a good thing to put, like, there seems to be this thing where runners are always injured, and I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be a thing. And if that is a thing, it's wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, holding up surprisingly well so far. My thighs have got a bit firmer, but that's about it.
Your thighs look amazing. I believe today's the first time in the whole run that your legs have been in shorts.
Second.
The second, okay.
But I've also got a t-shirt on today. Arms have not been out yet.
goodness me, I feel absolutely honoured that I get to see a bit of thigh muscle.
Summer is coming.
Now, are you worried about what you do? Because I know sometimes when I'm on my trips, I start thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do when I go home? Like, what's going to happen then? It starts to spiral. Are you worried about that at all? Or do you think about it?
I was at the beginning, but actually a side effect of the run, which I hadn't really thought about, is I've just met so many people who do so many interesting things and like have great lives that don't necessarily involve going to work and doing a 9-to-5. So I think just not necessarily in the run, but just meeting those kind of people make you think a lot more outside the box. Like, it is possible to make money and do stuff you like doing and not be miserable. So I don't really know what I'm going to do. So I'm not actually worried about it.
That's amazing. That is awesome. And so who's the coolest person that you've stayed with or had one of the coolest stories? I'm sure there's absolutely loads.
There have been a lot of great people. But I think my favourite was a woman called Kate, who I tell everyone about. So I'm sorry, Kate.
Kate's getting a lot of love.
I stayed with her friend Sarah, and that was also really lovely. And she said, well, do you need someone to stay tomorrow? My friend Kate lives here. And Kate came and picked me up, and we went for a run. And first of all, Kate, she's a marine biologist, and her office is like on a peninsula.
Wow.
Like, what a great place to have an office. And she had kind of been cycling around China and Tibet, sort of quite a long time ago, and told me stories about just cycling everywhere. And she just clearly actually really liked being outdoors. And when she did these amazing trips, it was kind of before there was social media and like, look at me, I'm so great, I'm cycling around Tibet. And I just loved the idea of just going to do something, because I feel like it'd be actually really hard to go and do something now, completely disconnected. Because even like we were talking about it earlier, like now if I don't text my mum every day, she's worried. And it's not, I just loved the idea that she'd gone, hadn't seen anyone for years. And I just, so she was my favourite. Well, not my favourite person, but I think my coolest story.
Yeah. Just to finish us off, because I think we need to actually focus and find a way out of this field.
we've
actually just got ourselves into a corner. Little note, Southwest, Wales Coastal Path. Little note to you, on the section outside, on the way to Fairbourne, just a few extra signposts in the fields would be lovely for girls who are trying to chat and run.
And a few less sheep.
And a few less sheep. If you could remove the sheep and replace every sheep with a signpost.
That would be grand.
That would be lovely.
And
thanks.
Do that actually for the whole country.
Lots of love, Anna and Elise. So to finish off, what advice would you give to someone who's got a dream, or maybe they don't have a dream, I mean, that sounds a bit too Martin Luther King-y, but you know, they've got that feeling, they've got something in them, something more in them, and they want a little bit more out of life, but they're absolutely petrified at taking that first step, and because, you know, they're not necessarily sporty or outdoorsy, or they think other people are doing it better. Like, what's your advice for those kind of people?
I think, first of all, because something I did, which I didn't really think about at the time, but I think was quite a big... God, there's so many sheep running away from us.
We're destroying the sheep!
I think something that was actually really good was quite literally about 2 weeks after I decided it was what I wanted to do. I emailed you and I said, you're running through New Zealand. Like, I really want to run around the country. Kind of... I don't know. I think it's not even advice necessarily, just sort of reassurance that... somebody else doing something actually is just a normal person. And then when somebody else gets excited about what you're doing, it's really reassuring. You're like, this isn't insane. So I think kind of reach, because there's so many people doing cool things, and it doesn't have to be like a physical adventure, it could be anything. And I think on the whole, I found that people are so nice and happy to help.
Yeah.
So just sort of reach out to someone and say, like, I want to do this, do you have any advice? And I don't think anyone would ever say no, figure it out by yourself, be terrified.
Yeah.
And also the idea that other people doing something are just other people. So if they can do something, then anyone can, really.
Amazing. Well, Elise Downing, you're an absolute legend. We're going to carry on with our run and try and find this path again.
We might be very lost.
We might be very, very lost. But signing out from the Welsh coastal path, being chased by a few sheep, this is Elise Downing, legend running Britain.
Thanks, Anna.
shape.
I think something that was actually really good was literally about 2 weeks after I decided my was what I wanted to do. I emailed you and I said, yeah, you're running through New Zealand. Like, I really want to run around the country. Kind of, I don't know, I think it's not even advice necessarily, just sort of reassurance that somebody else doing something actually is just a normal person. And then when somebody else gets excited about what you're doing, it's really reassuring. You're like, this isn't insane. So I think kind of reach, because there's so many people doing cool things, and it doesn't have to be like a physical adventure, it could be anything. And I think on the whole, I found that people are so nice and happy to help.
Yeah.
So just sort of reach out to someone and say, like, I want to do this, do you have any advice? And I don't think anyone would ever say no, figure it out by yourself, be terrified.
Yeah.
And also the idea that other people doing something are just other people. So if they can do something, then anyone can, really.
Amazing. Well, Elise Downing, you're an absolute legend. We're going to carry on with our run and try and find this path again.
We might be very lost.
We might be very, very lost. But signing out from the Welsh coastal path, being chased by a few sheep, this is Elise Downing, legend running Britain.
Thanks, Hannah.